Good morning. It is so good to see everyone here today. We are glad to have you with us at the Willow Avenue Church of Christ. If you're visiting, we want you to know we are thankful for your presence. We hope you'll stay around afterwards that we can meet you and greet you. And tonight, we will meet at 6 o'clock, and we would be delighted to have you come back and join us again at that time. Today is beginning the lectureship at the Memphis School of Preaching. And if you get an opportunity to listen to that online, you can go to msop.org. They will be playing their lectures all week long, streaming them on their website. I will be heading out tomorrow, and tomorrow night I will arrive and speak Tuesday, and then headed back home. So please remember us as we travel. And like I say, listen to those others as well. Do miracles still take place today? If you are out studying with people, this is a question that you're going to hear. In fact, it's going to come up quite a lot. And so we're going to talk about this morning, and I want to begin today by defining what we're talking about. What is the definition of a miracle? This is important that we get this from the beginning, because I think a lot of people misuse the term. They use the word miracle very loosely today. The dictionary definition of a miracle is this: a wonderful happening that is beyond the known laws of nature. And I think that's a pretty good definition. It is an event that is outside the realm of natural law, caused by divine influence. And the Bible is filled with examples of miracles. I've got just a few up here, 8 on the board. John chapter 2, water is turned into wine. Exodus chapter 3, you've got the burning bush. Exodus 4, the parting of the Red Sea. Numbers 22, Balaam's talking donkey. Luke chapter 1, the virgin birth. Acts chapter 2, the apostles speaking in languages that they have never studied. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira are struck dead. Acts chapter 20, Eutychus is struck blind. All of these things are miracles. These are things that are not consistent with natural law. The sea does not simply part and separate into walls so that people can walk across on dry land. It doesn't happen. Natural law does not let that take place. The fact that it happened is a miracle. Now, let me also list for you some things that are not miracles. Number one, a baby being born is not a miracle. Oftentimes, we refer to the miracle of childbirth. And it's true that it is amazing. That's why we have to define this, because sometimes we use the word miracle just to mean something that is amazing. But natural law went into effect with Adam and Eve, and since that time, babies have always been born by a natural process. A doctor saving someone, that is not a miracle. A tornado hitting one house and skipping the next house, that is not a miracle. Modern technology is not a miracle. It is amazing. Sometimes we talk about the miracle of modern technology. It's not a miracle. It's amazing. I look at this wheelchair that I have that can balance on one wheel, and it has all of these gyroscopes that are constantly making adjustments so that it doesn't fall over. It is amazing. But it is not a miracle. Now, here's the second point, and it is a question. Do we believe in miracles? You know, sometimes it is said that in the Church of Christ, you don't believe in miracles. And that is simply not true. The Bible speaks of many miracles, and we believe in every single one of them. You know, in New Testament times, even after the church was established, there were honest, true miracles that were performed. I've got 6 listed here on the board. Acts chapter 2, again, the apostles suddenly could speak in languages they had never studied. Acts chapter 9, Tabitha is raised from the dead. Again, in Acts chapter 9, you've got the sick instantly healed. Acts chapter 3, the man who is at the temple gate, who is lame all of these years, suddenly could walk. Acts chapter 13, Elymas is struck blind. Acts 27, there is a prediction of future events. The Bible teaches these miracles, and in the Lord's church, we believe in every single one of these. And so the question this morning is not, have miracles ever existed? The question is, do miracles still exist today? And the answer to that question is No. Now, somebody says, are you saying God doesn't have the power to do miracles? No, we're not saying that. God has the same power today that He has always had. But the fact is, He tells us in His Word that He is not exercising that power in that way today. Now, here is the next point. It is the fact that the Bible specifically teaches us that miracles have ceased. Now, I'm going to give you three ways today that you can show that miracles are no longer taking place. I have summarized it in three words to help us remember. Each of these words begins with the letter P. It helps me, and maybe it can help you. The first word is the word purpose. The second word is going to be the word perfect, and then the word passing. Purpose, perfect, and passing. Now, what are we talking about? First, I want to talk about the purpose of miracles. You know, people today are very infatuated with the miracle of healing. But did you realize that the purpose of miracles was never about making people feel better or healing people? You know, the apostles had the ability to heal, but the primary purpose of that power was never to alleviate human suffering. If it was, then why did Paul leave Trophimus sick in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20? If the purpose was to alleviate human suffering, then why did Paul not heal Timothy's stomach disorder in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23? Why didn't Paul remove his own thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9? You see, that was not the point of miracles. It was not the primary purpose of miracles. And so you say, then what was it? What was the purpose of miracles? Now listen to me carefully. The primary purpose of miracles in the New Testament was to confirm the Word of God. That is to prove that this message was from God. I'll give you an example of this. In John chapter 3 and verse 2, Nicodemus came to Jesus, and this is what he said. We know that you are a teacher come from God. How did he know it? How did they know that Jesus was a teacher from God? He said, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Why was Jesus healing people? Why did Jesus walk on the water? Why did Jesus perform these various miracles? It was so that people could look at him and know he is one sent from God. You remember when the Lord sent Moses to Pharaoh? He said, I want you to go to Pharaoh, Moses, and I want you to say, let my people go, and say to the children of Israel, God is going to deliver you. And Moses said, what if they don't believe me? What if they say, God hasn't really sent you? And the Lord said to Moses, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. The Lord said, throw it down. And he did, and it became a snake. And he said, grab that snake. And he picked it up, and it became a rod. And he said, you go and you do that. Why did he do this, you know, seeming magic, this miracle? Why did he do that? He said, here's the reason, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 5, that they may believe that the Lord God of your fathers has appeared unto you. The purpose of the miracle was to prove that he was a messenger that came from God. In the New Testament, when the Lord sent out his disciples, in fact, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he's just about to ascend into heaven. Mark chapter 16, scripture reading this morning. Jesus told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. This was going to begin in Acts chapter 2 as the church came. You're going to have a new institution, the Christian age, a new form of worship, a new message. Go preach the gospel unto all the world. And what does he say? Look at Mark 16 and verse 20. And they went forth, and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, now get it, and confirming the word with signs following. Now what's the point of this? They had a brand new message. They said, now you're going to partake of the Lord's Supper every week. Now you're going to give on the first day of the week. You're not going to worship on the Sabbath anymore. Why did they have to do miracles? Because they're preaching this new message. How did people know that this really came from God? Because as they preached it, they confirmed the message with miracles. Now, let me get to the point. The point is this. The Word has been confirmed. We don't have to every Sunday get up and perform a miracle to show that we need to partake of the Lord's Supper. When the message was new, they needed to show that it came from God. Once it has been established that it came from God, then you don't have to keep doing the miracles. The purpose of the miracle was gone. In fact, listen to this. Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord?" That is, the Lord began to deliver this new message, and it was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. How did He confirm this new message? Notice, God also bearing witness. How? With signs and wonders and various miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His will. The Holy Spirit in the first century was here to confirm the Word. These signs, these wonders and miracles were there to prove that this message came from God. Friends, once the Word was confirmed, only new messages need to be confirmed. Once it's been confirmed, then the purpose for the miracle is gone. Remember this word, the purpose of miracles. We don't have the purpose today because the Word of God was finished 2,000 years ago. Only new messages need confirming. Secondly, I want you to think about the word perfect. Now, you might think, what are you talking about? I'm talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10. The Bible says, "But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away." Now, what's he talking about? That which is imperfect, that which is in part. The background to 1 Corinthians 13, of course, is 1 Corinthians 12. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27, you can see on the board here, Paul lists 9 miraculous gifts that Christians had in the first century. Amongst these gifts of the Holy Spirit, there were prophecies, there was miraculous knowledge. I want you to keep these two things in mind, because when the church began in Acts chapter 2, they didn't have a New Testament. They couldn't open their Bibles and say, "Turn to Matthew chapter 3, because there wasn't a Matthew chapter 3. And so, what were they going to preach? How were they going to worship? What were they going to sing? How were they going to pray? They didn't know. And so the Holy Spirit gave them these 9 miraculous gifts to lead them in the worship. And so what would happen is they might get up and they would preach for 30 minutes, the Holy Spirit giving them this message, which was kind of a snippet of the New Testament. Now, with that in mind, I want you to consider these words. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies..." See, that's a miracle. They will fail. "Whether there are tongues," this is miraculous ability to speak in languages, "they will cease. Whether there is knowledge," this is the miraculous revelation of knowledge, "it will vanish away. For we know in part..." What does that mean? They had the Word of God in part. In fact, I want you to look at this next graphic. I want you to notice what we have here on the left-hand side. And that is God was speaking to this New Testament Christian. You see the outline of the Bible there? That's because they didn't actually have a Bible. How was he preaching? God was giving him this miraculous revelation, so they had the Word in part, in a partial way. You see on the right, 1 Corinthians 12, they had miraculous knowledge, miraculous prophecies. They were speaking the Word of God in other languages, or the New Testament says, tongues. "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." Now listen to verse 10. "But when that which is perfect is come..." There's our word. "When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away." The word perfect does not mean without flaw. The word perfect comes from a Greek word, teleos. It is a word that means complete. If you look this up in Art and Gingrich, it says something having attained its end or purpose that is complete. What is he saying? Right now, we have the Word in a partial way. That is via miracles. The Lord gives us part of the Word. But when that which is complete, see on the right, when that which is complete is done, we won't have the miraculous knowledge. We won't have the miraculous prophecies. We won't have the speaking in tongues. What does that mean? When the New Testament was finished, the miracles were going to be done away. We don't have a purpose for miracles today. The perfect Word is completed, and He tells us specifically, when the Word is complete, The miracles are going to cease. Thirdly, I want you to consider the word pass. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the ability to pass on miraculous powers. In the New Testament, two times miraculous abilities came from heaven. In Acts chapter 2, the Lord gave miraculous abilities of the Holy Spirit to the apostles. In Acts chapter 10, He gave miraculous abilities once to the Gentiles. Every other time, miraculous abilities came by the laying on of the apostles' hands. They passed on this ability by laying their hands on individuals. Now, how do I know that? I've got some passages up here for you. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. Philip was a man who had miraculous abilities. Philip went to the city of Samaria. There was no church there. He preached Christ unto them. Acts 8 and verse 12 says, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, men and women. And so you've got a brand new church in the city of Samaria. Philip had miraculous ability, but he wasn't able to give it to anybody else. So how were they going to worship? What were they going to preach? How was that church going to function? They didn't have a Bible yet. So Acts chapter 8 and verse 14 says, they sent message back to the city of Jerusalem, and they asked Peter and John, two apostles, to come down. Acts 8 and verse 17 says, when they, the apostles, Peter and John, came, they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost, they received miraculous powers, and they began to speak in tongues. What is the point? The apostles came and laid their hands on them, so that they could receive this miraculous ability. Secondly, I have listed Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. The apostle Paul wrote to the brethren at Rome, and he said, I long to see you, brethren, that I may impart to you some miraculous gift, some spiritual gift, that you may be established. That is, Paul said, I've got to come there in person so that I can lay hands on you and give you this miraculous gift. Next is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul says to Timothy, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that is in you through the putting on of my hands. That is, Timothy, you've got a miraculous power, a spiritual gift. Where'd you get it? I laid my hands on you. Acts chapter 19 and verse 6 says, and when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake in tongues and they prophesied. The point is this. In the New Testament, the passing on of miraculous spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit came through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Now, I want you to consider this. Paul was the last apostle. All of the apostles are dead. There hasn't been an apostle in 2,000 years, and so there is no one to pass on this ability. We don't have a purpose for miracles today. That which is perfect has come, and so we don't need these miracles today. The Bible said when the perfect is come, the miracles will go away, and we don't have anyone to pass on these abilities. All of these things show us that the miracles of the Bible are gone. And so, what about the claims of miracles? You say, Don, how do you explain people saying that they can perform miracles today? Well, I would point out several things. First, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, the Lord said, Beloved, believe not every spirit, He says, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. What does that mean? There was one Holy Spirit revealing the message in the first century. There are a lot of other people claiming to have the Spirit, but they didn't have the miracles to confirm it. What's the point? There was one true way and a lot of fake ones, and still today there are many false prophets. Secondly, how do I explain the claims of miracles? Listen to this. This is Matthew 7:22. This is a scene from the judgment day. The Lord says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Prophesying is a miracle. These are people who are claiming to have prophesied. The Lord's going to say they didn't. He says, and they're going to say, have we not cast out devils in your name? That is a miracle. He says they didn't do it. And done many wonderful works, the King James says. The New King James says, wonders. We think of wonderful works, and sometimes we think that means they did a lot of good things. This is talking about miracles. They said, didn't we do a lot of miracles? And then the Lord is going to say to these people in verse 23, I never knew you. You didn't really do these things. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. One version says, you who practice lawlessness, the New King James. What does that mean? The Lord says on the day of judgment, there's going to be a lot of people who said they did miracles and they did not. So how do I explain this? I would say this, there are a lot of false prophets who are claiming to do miracles, and the Lord says they're not doing miracles. I would also point this out. When it comes to the so-called miracles of today, they are highly questionable. Someone will always say, well, this happened in Africa. This happened in a foreign country. Many of the so-called miracle workers today have been exposed as fakes. In fact, I challenge you, go to YouTube and search for this phrase, faith healers exposed. I've done it. It is very interesting. There have been reporters, and they have gone in and gone undercover to some of these faith healing meetings, and they've exposed some of their trickery. It's very, very interesting. I would also say this, the so-called miracles of today are very limited in their scope. You don't see anyone raising the dead today. You don't see anyone walking on the water today. It's not like Bible miracles. Bible miracles were undeniable. Listen to this. Acts chapter 4 and verse 16, when Peter and John healed the paralyzed man who is at the gate of the temple, this is what the enemy said. Acts 4, 16, they said, what shall we do with these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done here and has been made known to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. That is, the miracle said, this is so genuine. Everybody has seen it. It is authentic. We don't even know what we could do to deny this miracle. Friends, that's different from the miracles of today. Bible miracles were authentic. They could not be denied. The dead were raised. Lazarus, Eutychus, Tabitha. The healing was instantaneous. It was complete. You will never find a miracle worker today who can lay hands on me and enable me to get out of this chair and not be paralyzed. It's not going to happen. Now, of course, this is what they're going to tell you. They're going to say, well, Don, it's because you don't have enough faith. This is what the Bible says. John chapter 5, Jesus entered into the region of Bethsaida, and he went to an area there where the blind and the lame and the paralyzed were gathered, and he healed a man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. But John chapter 5 and verse 13 specifically says, the man did not even know who Jesus was. Friends, this man had no faith because he didn't even know who Jesus was, but his lack of faith did not stop the Lord. You see, when people say, well, I couldn't do it because he didn't have enough faith, that's not what the Bible says. Someone's lack of faith never prevented Jesus. And so, what is the source of modern-day miracles? We've all known people who say they've seen miracles. I remember a man I was studying with years ago, a friend I was in the Air Force with, and I studied with this man, and he says, I know miracles exist. He said, when I was a kid, we were riding down the road one time, and he said, our car just ran out of gas. And he said, we stopped, and my dad said a prayer, and he said, all of a sudden, the fuel filter gauge started going back up, and we cranked it. It was full of gas, and we went. He said it was a miracle. I thought, sound like a clogged fuel filter to me, but that's what he said. He said later on, he saw a man's toe just grow back. He said it was a miracle. Somebody says, how do you explain that? When somebody says those type things to you, how do you explain that? Number one, some things I know are done by trickery and sleight of hand. How do I know that? Acts chapter 8 tells us about a man like this. There was a man in Samaria named Simon. The Bible says he used to amaze the people of Samaria, giving out that he was a great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man has the great power of God. He fooled everybody that he could do miracles. Friends, I think there are a lot of Simon the sorcerers still today. They don't use the name sorcerer, but there are a lot of Simons still today who are fooling people, saying they have the power of God. Secondly, how do I explain this? Some of this, no doubt, is psychosomatics. What do I mean by this? The mind has power over the body. Now, is that true? Think about this. A person can get so surprised that it causes their body to faint. A person can get so angry that it gives them digestion problems. A person can be so worried that they become sick to their stomach. They become so nervous that they sweat. I think it is unquestionable that your mind can have some power over your body. Number three, some of this is just hysteria. People get caught up in the moment. Emotions are running high. And so some of what goes on in Pentecostal meetings is people getting caught up in the moment. Some of it is peer pressure. People do what they do because everybody else is doing it. Whatever the explanation is, this is what I know. The Lord said there are many false prophets. And the Lord gives us an example of one who was so good at faking miracles that the whole town, the rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated, all of them believed him. And he says on the day of judgment, there are going to be a lot of people who claim to be doing miracles that he is going to say, I never knew them. Friends, the miracles of today don't compare to the miracles of the Bible. They are just not the same. Today there are no miracles. And today we don't need miracles. Everything we need to serve God acceptably has been provided for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. The word is complete, same as 1 Corinthians 13:10, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If we've got our Bible today, it is complete. It has everything that we need. We don't need miracles. Thank you for your good attention today. I appreciate it so much. Maybe there's someone who is listening today who says, I've never heard this before. I want to study more. Talk to us. We would love to set up a Bible study with you. Maybe you're here today and you're ready to obey the gospel. The Bible teaches to become a child of God, you need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. If you're ready to do that, we would be delighted to assist you today. If you're a member of the Lord's church and you have sin in your life and you desire the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, it would be an honor for us to help you with that. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come? Together we stand and sing the invitation song.